Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you all could tune in with us today. As well as those joining us in Atlanta at 106 Live, we're glad to have all of you with us as well. Peter Engel is making his first appearance on our program today. He's a producer that has been beloved by so many because of the work that he's been able to do. One of those pieces is really the basis of his new book, I Was Saved by the Bell, stories of life, love, and dreams that do come true. We're going to talk to Peter not only about the journey of being able to do what he loves in television, but also what it's been like for him to bring some amazing stories to life along the way, and then, of course, to be able to please his fans as well. I think one of the great things about this book is that it really takes us into the behind the scenes of not only some of the characters that we've gotten to know through Saved by the Bell, but also, of course, their impact that they've been able to have on others. And we just now hearing about the book, I'm going to tell you a little bit later how you can be able to get the book for yourself, as well as, of course, be able to stay connected with Peter, too. I think one of the great things about what Peter's been able to do as well is that he reminds us that no matter what your passion might be, no matter what your dream might be, that all of us have the opportunity to do something great if we're willing to do the work. We're going to talk to Peter about the work, how he did not allow the challenges to be able to stop him, but also what he hopes you're able to realize about the importance of not only believing in yourself, but also not giving up on your own personal goals and dreams. It's going to be a great conversation. Really excited to be able to welcome Peter to the program. He's doing a lot of press right now for the book, as you would imagine, it being such a popular topic right now, but we're looking forward to that. Before we get into that conversation, though, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
I used to drive all over town for low prices, but now I let Walmart's incredible new Savings Catcher do the work for me. I just enter my Walmart receipt online and Savings Catcher does the rest. It compares the prices I paid for items at Walmart with advertised prices from other top stores in my area. And if Savings Catcher finds a lower advertised price, Walmart gives me the difference on an e-gift card. Now that's my kind of work.
Introducing Savings Catcher from Walmart. Go to walmart.com/savingscatcher for details. Eligible items only. Restrictions apply.
When you don't go to geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
Hey, we're back with Conversations Live. As I said, today we're speaking with Peter Engel, not only about his new book, I Was Saved by the Bell, but what it's been like for him to be able to share his love of television with all of you, and also, of course, making us laugh and think along the way. We'll tell you all a little bit later how you can get the book for yourself. But, Peter, hello to you, and welcome to Conversations Live. Glad you could join us today.
Cyrus, how are you?
I'm doing really good, Peter. Excited about this conversation with you. I was telling my audience before the break, you've had a whirlwind of a time already with press, and so we definitely appreciate you taking out some time to be with us. Peter, what has it been like for you to reflect on this journey and to think about not only what you've been able to do in television, but also how you really are an example of the importance of not giving up on your goals and dreams?
Well, you know, you said the major word, journey, and it has been a journey. And sharing it with people, I hope it makes them feel that you can't give up. I had my heart broken so many times, you know, right. The shows that coulda, woulda, didn't, never should, that when success of that show and family and everything, and I had my heart broken in some marriage as well, but if you didn't have your heart broken, the victory would never have been as sweet. And I don't mean the victory is just in having a hit television show. I'm talking about the people you meet along the way. It never was about the money. It was always about the love of the people that you gave and got. And I hope through the book, you know, people will get that.
Right. And one of the things I noticed, Peter, when you and I were tweeting each other earlier today, and one of the things that really struck me was that it's like, I mean, you realize where it all began. Of course, it is the actors that bring it to life. But you give that great story in the book of Lauren reading about the character Zach. And she's saying to you, "I'm in love with Zach." And you said to her, "How could you be in love with Zach? He's only a character on paper." And her reply was, "It doesn't matter. I'm in love with him." So you knew just from the writing of these characters, of course, that the actor bringing it to life is going to be so important. But what was that like for you to reflect on, Peter, how that you seem to have a way of being able to bring characters to life just in the way you wrote them?
Well, first of all, people always say to me, "Was I Zach?" And I go, "No, I wasn't Zach. And I didn't go to a high school like Bayside. I went to a four-story walk-up in New York City. I would have liked to be Zach, but I was definitely not Screech." So let's get that clear. My daughter Lauren was a year younger than they were. And all my kids, when they were teenagers, worked on the shows as PAs. And this was a character that I guess I wanted to have been, and casting him was so unique. And when he walked in the room, I remember saying, if he had that twinkle in his eye, I said, "If this kid speaks English, he's got the part." And I created the characters, and we wrote some good scripts, and we had a good production, and we went all over to Hawaii and Las Vegas. But the bottom line is that they made the show. Because they, for the first time, there were actors on television playing their own age. And we had to have a schoolroom, a real one, in addition to on the set. We had up where my office is, where we had to have a schoolroom. And it was like one big family. And they were magic. They were magic from the first show on. They never, ever missed. And I've had a lot of shows. This group was just unbelievable.
Right.
They were all great characters in their own right as individuals, which made the casting so much better.
Right. Exactly. And I think that is the thing. So let's go back a little bit, Peter, because the other thing they were able to realize is that, I mean, you had a way of being able to think of things and then, of course, to not be afraid of doing the work necessary to try to make them a reality. You know, I think, you know, as we reflect on in the book, you know, I was saved by the bell, you know, none of us ever know where our life will take us. But when did you know that telling stories was your gift, that was the gift that you had been given?
I knew that way back when I put on my first show at Camp Winocky in New Hampshire on Lake Winnipesaukee. I knew it was something within me. Now, the problem is that sometimes it's hard to get a chance. Like when in the book, I'm at NYU Film School and I decide I have to be a page at 30 Rock, which was the page staff. Well, that was, to me, I have great confidence, and I'm confident, and I have a great rap, if you will. I was not that guy at 18 years old who took the subway up from NYU and went to NBC and said I have to be a page, but I did it because I knew if I got my foot in the door, it's hard to get your foot in the door. And it's more hard even when you're in the door to get a chance to do what you love or think you should do, and you just gotta go with it and keep fighting until they let me in the door, and that didn't mean I was in. It means I was in the door, and then over and over again you had to get in the next door and the next door, and it's hard, and you can't give up And if you love it and you have a passion for it, you've got to stay at it. I never thought Saved by the Bell would be that show I wanted to do my whole life.
Yeah, I think that is it. And I think, you know, for you, I mean, this was something, and the reason why I wanted to ask you that question, one of the things you talk about in the book, Peter, is the night that changed your life. And,
right.
You know, I think, you know, all of us, you know, talk about the voice in our heads. You kind of articulated in the book about the voice that really kind of showed you, you know, what was possible, you know, and I want to read a part of this and actually have you talk about it, because I think for so many people in their lives that wonder, why am I here? I mean, you were told this, I have created you for a purpose. I have chosen you for a task from before you were. Before you could feel or think or speak, I had you in mind. I put wisdom and knowledge and judgment in your heart. I have planted it there like a seed, and now I am here to water it and give you faith in its potential and in the potential of your brothers and sisters. I mean, what was that like for you to reflect on, Peter, to know that you were created with greatness inside of you?
I believed it. But it didn't happen right away.
I
believed it and I hung on to it. And quite frankly, that was 79, and Bell didn't begin to 89. And I kept saying, God made this promise to me, and I believed it, and I still believe it. And it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen. That's faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, as it says in the Bible, the evidence of things not seen. If you see it, you don't have to have faith, right? And I hung on to that I was here for a purpose, and never did I believe. It was a children's show, which turned into a worldwide phenomenon. And I didn't want to do it, quite frankly. When Brandon Todikoff, the president of NBC, said to me, I want to do a live-action show, my lead-in were chipmunks, and my lead-out was Smurfs. And I was against a rabbit, a bear, and a raisin. And I said, who's going to look at that? Who cares about that? I said, get someone else. And I went home that night, and my ex-wife said to me, how was your day? I said, but who cares about kids shows? She said, how about our kids? How about your kids? I said, I guess I made a mistake. And but it's funny. Here it was right in front of me, and I didn't see it, right? Here it was right in front of me, and I'm looking over it and around it and under it, and there it was. And, of course, the beauty and the joy of doing the show, I mean, it was like at the time of my life. It was fun. Television's supposed to be fun. And we had fun on most, practically every one of my shows. They were fun. And people forget. And I think that's one of the problems is people forget it's supposed to be fun. And if you can have fun doing your job, I mean, that's a blessing. And God gave me a promise that it took 10 years to happen, but then after that, my gosh, there were many, many promises that came true.
For sure. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We are honored today to welcome Peter Engel to our program. He is known, of course, for his work not only with Saved by the Bell, but also other great programs we're about to talk about. His new book, though, is called I Was Saved by the Bell, Stories of Life, Love, and Dreams That Do Come True. Peter, the other side of this is you don't just give us the dream. You don't give us the fulfillment of the dreams. You give us the darkness as well. You give us the downsides. You talk about the challenges that came your way through your family. You came away. You talk about even how you know, humility, as you talked about, wasn't all that you were about. One of the things that you write about was after you're celebrating your 500th episode with NBC, how there was something going on with you that was different. And I love the fact that you are so honest. What did you know going into the book that you wanted to do that? That you wanted to not just show the success, but also the challenges that came your way as you built the Peter Engel brand?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to do it, if you're going to be honest and you're going to do it, I mean, it's a lot of fun, the book. I mean, the stories I chose to tell, most of them make you laugh or cry or feel good, but a lot of them are fun, like the whole story is with Jacques Cousteau and John Lennon, the way I tell the story, and Orson Welles and John DeLorean and Aaron Spelling. But the point is, if you're going to tell the story, you got to tell the story. And the story was that when I had 6 shows shooting, no one had ever done that before. I mean, not any of the great Dick Wolf, or any of the producers have that of multiple shows now. No one had ever had 6 shows. And I have to be very honest, we got a little arrogant. I got a little arrogant, like anything we touch is going to work. And we did a couple of shows that all of a sudden it wasn't about the show, it was about the money, and it was about keeping the brand going. And we did a couple of shows we shouldn't have done. and they cost the network a lot of money. And all of a sudden, I wasn't the golden guy anymore. When you cost them $20, $25 million, but you do some shows, all of a sudden, you're not the guy. And fortunately, we only did Last Comic Standing, which went 9 seasons on and off. I'll probably still come back again. But, yes, I changed. I changed from that guy who had a promise from God and had a great family. I wasn't mean or different. I just became a little arrogant. Like, hey, we're going to do that because they want it and they trust us. And they trust you until they don't trust you anymore.
Right. I think that is it. I want to share a bit of what you talked about when you first saw the sign of Engle Avenue in the book, Peter. I want to just read a bit of that because I think that is an interesting thing. Because not only were the characters that you were creating and the shows that you were creating being talked about, but you were being talked about, and this is what you wrote in the book. The outpouring was overwhelming, and so were the articles themselves, mainly because the people interviewed said such nice things. You go on to talk about, of course, the diversity that was celebrated, that you've seen to bring the morality, even going to the White House. Peter, you wrote about that and how you were thanked for what was called responsible programming. But then you wrote this: however, I wasn't all humility in those days. Success went to my head. I figured we couldn't miss on anything. Worse than that, making shows became about expansion, not quality. Passion became commerce. My mindset was now, how many more shows can I put on the air, instead of, what do I really want to make? This is not to say that I wasn't really proud of some of our shows. Some of them were outstanding, and this was because our people, our writers and directors and producers, still had their intentions right. It is to say, however, that I let commerce drive many of my actions. I bring that up because as we fast forward to 2016, in a time where reality television has kind of taken over television, and the idea of what is entertainment is typically at someone's detriment or us laughing about someone's scandal or that kind of thing. What has been the biggest surprise to you, Peter, about the direction that entertainment has taken?
Well, I still think right now television is doing a lot of stuff that's terrific. Mm-hmm. And let me digress for a second. When TV Guide, in 2003, we were about to go on the air with Last Comic Standing, they said, what makes your, and you remember what the reality shows were back then, right? I'm not talking about the good ones. We were nominated for an Emmy after our first year of Last Comic, and quite frankly, in my opinion, we weren't that good the first year. But it was us, Apprentice, and Idol, and Survivor, and Amazing Race, which won every year practically. But but they said to me, what's the difference between your show and most reality shows? I said, ours is supposed to be funny. I don't want to laugh at people. We're supposed to laugh with people, and that was the difference. I think what happened was the pop culture got out of hand, and I'm not going to point my finger at anyone or any show. I think we got so involved with the – remember, we didn't have the internet with Saved by the Bell. We used to get 10,000 to 15,000 letters a week. Can you imagine if we – especially with our core audience, 12 to 17, that spilled up through college and even a little younger. Can you imagine what it would have been like with having the internet then? But I think that – with the event of the internet and the phones and the Twitters and the tweets and this, I think is too much information and not enough knowledge. And things that shouldn't be, you know, I if you go on my website, it's not there yet, but one of my things is I'm a storyteller. I tell stories. Oh, it is there. I'm a storyteller. There's a video I did. And a storyteller has to have a beginning, middle, and end. It has to be that's something that someone wants to know about, not about, you know, what you ate for lunch or what the latest piece of furniture or your cat. And I think what's happened is this drive for information has so overloaded our culture that we're getting a lot of info and not knowledge, which leads to a pop culture that's beyond containment. And I think there's some really good things on television. I think John Landgraf at FX is doing some really good things. I think some of the network shows are really good. And at Showtime and at ABC and NBC and at different places at Fox. But I think we're on overload. And I think the culture of knowing everything about a person. And look what happened to poor Kim Kardashian in Paris. She tells everyone where she is and what she's doing, and these guys come in and rob her. And her life is at stake. And I just think it's too much. And we need to talk to each other more. We need
totally
to speak to each other. We need to care about each other more and not just know about each other.
And I think that is so powerful. And that's why conversations like this mean so much to myself, Peter, and also to our audience. And that's why we're so appreciative to you. Again, everyone, Peter Engel has been our guest. He's the author of the new book, I Was Saved by the Bell. For those who, of course, are friends of Amazon.com, you all can order the print edition now. Of course, the Kindle edition will be available very soon, so you guys can go over there and to get it
tomorrow
as well. Stories of life, love, and dreams that do come true. Peter mentioned his website, and we definitely invite you guys to go there. It's www.iwassavedbythebell.com. So definitely make sure you guys go over to the website, stay connected with Peter there. Peter, you know, I really appreciate this time. This meant so much to me to be able to read this book and to be able to discuss it with you, and I hope to speak with you again.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, the pleasure's definitely all mine, Peter. Thank you. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Peter, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on the link there. You can listen to the show completely for free and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.